Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I'm Glenda Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 1st, 2011, episode 87, sponsored by Pfizer Animal Health. Good morning, horse world.
I'm a horse addict. I got a real big habit. I see what I want, I gotta have it. I'm a horse addict. A horse addict. I got a real big habit. I see what I want, I gotta have it. I'm a horse addict. Some of my friends, they only have just one. They're in recovery, but I'm having all the fun. I'm a horse addict.
Thank you for joining us for Horses in the Morning. It is good to be back live, Glenn. I mean, we did a recorded show yesterday, and that was really, really fun. I hope everybody enjoyed it. And hearing Dan Roberts from oldbootsmusic.com hanging out with Garth Brooks and telling us all about it. And I do love the fact that so many people on our Facebook page knew exactly the moment it happened. What happened on that episode that has not happened in like 950 episodes of any horse radio network, anything? And that, obviously that was when I was doing the commercial and all of a sudden cows started mooing.
Yes. It was funny.
I mean, it was funny, and it turns out the guy's like riding around like roping cattle or what, driving cattle right then as we're doing the interview. That is modern technology for you. When a cowboy can be riding around, moving cattle, talking on the cell phone.
That's right. And doing a music show all at the same time. You know, and I wanted to congratulate Rhonda Crabtree. Jennifer, make a note of that. She's going to need to get a signed hat from all of us, for a Horse Radio Network hat. She was the first one to post that we had cows in our commercial.
It was awesome. The company's going to love that one.
Well, you actually, speaking of cows, you did something this weekend that was relating to cows that we're all going to want to hear about, I'm sure. One of your crazy, wacky stories again. We're going to do that right after we find out what's happening on today's show from Jennifer.
On today's show, we've got updates on the world of competitive driving, the who, what, where, why, and when from our man Mike. And Tammy will be here, our own Tammy Sarant will be here, and she's going to stop by with the skinny on the Road to the Horse competition, which has become, like, crazy popular. And she was there, so she's going to give us all the good stories from there. And since it's sort of like a Monday with yesterday's recorded show, Glenn and Jamie are going to have plenty of wacky stories from the weekend, as Glenn mentioned. And sure shooting, we will have some really great comments from our Facebookers and our callers.
And speaking of which, you can follow us on Facebook. Just follow along during the show. Just go to our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. Well, I think it's time for our first, we have a couple today, our first Daily Winnie. I wanted to thank Emily for submitting some Craigslist ads to us by email. We had talked about doing a Craigslist competition this week to see who had who could find the wackiest Craigslist horse ads, but we're going to postpone that till next week because of everything that we've got going on this week. So we're going to hold on to your ads, don't lose them, save them, and starting next week, we'll talk about it later this week, and we'll have a competition next week for the craziest Craigslist ads. And I also have another Daily Winnie. So on a give a shout out to Alan Moorhead of the Western Radio Show, who had an unfortunate accident about 10 days ago and almost lost his thumb in a, believe it or not, a trailering accident. A horse acted up in the trailer and his thumb got caught between two metal parts. And basically slid it open, and he almost had to have it removed. So it's still there. It's not in great shape, but it's healing, and he's doing a little bit better with it, and looks like he'll be able to keep it, which is the good thing. He said to me last night, he said, "You don't realize how much stuff you do with your thumb until you don't have a thumb." So,
poor thing. That is horrible.
I know. I felt so bad for him.
And yeah, trailering horses is nerve-wracking, it's dangerous, it's scary, you know, it's a necessary evil, but gosh, how many accidents happen just while trailering? It's just scary.
Yeah, either the horse is getting hurt or the person is. Somebody's always getting hurt while trailering, and, you know, I felt really bad, so I gave him a daily whinny. But I know that you had one too, right?
I do. Well, I would like to give my daily whinny to our dear friend and Facebooker, Rick Connolly, because, ladies, this is awesome. Okay, and I really, really, really don't know how Rick got away with this without people seeing him, but he was at the World Horseshoeing Classic in Lexington last Friday, and he took some photos of some farriers for me and for women everywhere. And it might be the action shot that you've been waiting for. So please go to our Facebook page and look down, scroll down to where you get to Rick Connolly. Here's your daily Winnie, Rick. Thank you so much for the fantastic photograph of the three men, not one, not two, but three men who are sort of shown. Parts of them are shown in this photograph. And, of course, you can. He also says that there's a lot more photos from that event at drafthorsephotos.com.
You know, my niece was here over the weekend, and she happened to be in the office when I saw that come up. And I said, "Hey, look at this." And she says, she just didn't get it. She said, "I don't get it. It's just guy's butts." So, you know, she was like not getting it at all. I said, "I know, but for some reason horsewomen have a thing for farrier butts. It's just, for some reason, farrier butts seem to be the exception to just guys' butts."
It's like, "I'll hold that horse. You want me to hold it? No, I'm going to hold it. No, I'll hold the horse. No, I'm holding the horse." So, yeah, there's a reason why I have a female farrier, and I'm sure it just worked out that way, or maybe my husband had something to do with it. I don't know, but it's just safer. No question.
You know, it is true, though. Girls have a thing for farriers. It's just weird. I don't know why that is, because they handle their horses so well or something, you know?
It's the smell of hoof. I'm telling you, it does something to a woman. The smell of cut, nasty, funky
hoof. Burnt hoof, yeah. They don't hot shoe anymore. I think that's part of it. When they used to hot shoe, the smell of hoof was kind of gross. But
no,
they don't do that. Hey, we are excited to announce that we are dedicating a whole show, a whole episode of Horses in the Morning to the winners of the Equestrian Social Media Awards. And if you remember right, Janie, we had Liam on with us from, was he Irish or something, if I remember right? Sorry, Liam.
Liam with the accent. Hey, Liam.
Yes.
All right. I don't do his accent at all, but
no, yeah, you don't really very well. No, not very good. Well, Liam's going to be back with us for the whole show, and we're going to get a bunch of the winners on after they're announced. They're starting to announce the winners next week over 5 days. They put little videos together, and I don't know if you've seen the little clips on their page, but they are really cute. They have they're wearing tuxedos, and they're at a barn, and they're actually announcing the awards from a horse farm in their tuxedos. So it's kind of cool
awesome.
What they've done to put it together. They've done a lot of work on this. And they're going to join us that morning, and we're going to have hopefully some of the winners on, and we're just going to make it a social media awards day here on Horses in the Morning. That's going to be on the Monday the 14th, 2 weeks from today, or 2 weeks from yesterday. Put that on your calendar, and we should have a lot of fun with that. That's going to be a blast.
It is. However, I mean, we're nominated in a category. And it's like,
yes,
what if we don't win? I mean, obviously, we don't know if we're going to win or not. So we're kind of putting ourselves out there, Glenn. It could be one of those moments like best newbie category goes to, you know, the horse and man. We're like, yay, congratulations. We have to do our fake, like, you know, you watched the Oscars last night. You have
That's
to do
right.
that
yes,
loser
yes,
face
because yes.
the
yes,
camera is
that.
On you. And you have to
That's
do
right.
the, you know, you shrug your shoulders. You're like, you nod your head and you shrug your shoulders and you smile and you clap. Like, yeah, I didn't win. I'm going to kill her.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what those people are thinking.
We don't have to do the face. We just have to do the voice. We have to do the, oh, yes, congratulations with a little golf clap to the winner.
Yeah.
That's what we have
oh,
to do.
Oh,
yeah.
That's great. Yay. That's congratulations. So we need to work on that a little bit because I think we're failing miserably right now. I mean, we could be like Faith Hill when Carrie Underwood won the Best Female Vocalist and Faith Hill, like, freaked out on camera. She was like, What?
I know. I remember that.
Have
too.
You seen that video?
I remember that. Yes.
It's awesome. So
she was not happy.
We won't pull a Faith Hill during the Equestrian Social Media Awards announcements.
Hey, Faith, I got news for you. Carrie has beat you at everything since then too. So just thought I'd mention that.
Heart.
Yeah.
She's. It just happens. Women get older, and then they just don't handle it very well. And bless her heart, she's still married to Tim, and, you know, whatever. Let's move on.
Hey, you had an exciting weekend yesterday, actually.
Yeah.
And you got to do something that first of all, what prompted you to want to do this?
Well, you know, I talked to you guys about this a couple weeks ago, and it's something that was on my bucket list. I think that the most challenging looking Western sport of all of them is cutting. I think that cutting horses are the most athletic, agile, with phenomenal athletes that, I mean, they do it themselves. You know, these horses, they crouch down, they jump back and forth and back and forth. And I just thought that always looked really, really fun to try. And it was kind of on my bucket list of horse sports to do. And so I kind of had the opportunity to, well, I really kind of asserted myself into a cutting horse riding lesson. So I got to go and take a cutting horse lesson yesterday. I don't know if that's what you call it, but that's what I call it, a cutting horse lesson.
That's what I'm calling it. I don't know either.
Yeah. So I'll back up a little bit, and I can kind of tell you the background. You know, I've been shopping for a pony for my student who has been – that was where the whole Craigslist ad thing came from, because I'm just pulling my hair out trying to find this perfect pony for this child. And so we went and looked at one on Friday afternoon, and – this pony's awesome. I think it's going to work out. We're going to take
All
it
right.
on trial and see. Yes, finally, I found a nice little POA gelding, 13-2, just a sweetheart. And he belongs to this woman. And I asked her if we can come back and try the pony again on Monday morning. And she says, oh, I can't. I've got a lesson. I'm learning how to ride cutting horses. I said, oh, my gosh, I have always wanted to do that. That's so cool. And she's like, well, he's got extra horses if you want to pay for a lesson. I was like, okay. So I went with this lady is so nice, but basically with a complete stranger, hopped in her trailer and drove what seemed like down to Mexico. it was the farthest drive because I guess it takes a lot of room to have cows and all that. So I got down there and rode cutting horses, and it was just incredible. You know, we pull the trailer in, and she had brought her own horse that she's training, and we get off the trailer, and there's this cowboy. I mean, we're talking like John Wayne, True Grit, without the eye patch kind of cowboy. It was awesome. And he's like, he just hands me this mare, this big quarter horse tank of a mare, and he's like, the Loper. I'm like, what? Okay, just go Loper. And the thing is, I ride English and event horses, and I don't even know the cues for riding Western. I'm like, so I turned to her. I'm like, is the canter the inside leg or the outside leg? What do you do? And she's like, outside leg. I'm like, perfect. I know that one. But
sorry.
What Oh, no, Stan, because, Jennifer, it's the craziest thing to ride a Western horse, and when you change your seat, just barely, I sat up a little bit because I'm in this Western saddle, and I'm kind of swimming around bumping this horse.
Jamie,
and,
I have to say that I posted the picture of you in your great big Western saddle, which looks like it's bigger than you, by the way. I posted that on Facebook, so anybody wants to see Jamie looking mighty English in her Western saddle, you can find that on Facebook right now.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
So I'm sliding around in this huge saddle because it belongs to the John Wayne of the family, and I sit up a little bit because I'm wiggling around. I go to sit up. What does that horse do, Jennifer? It slams on the brakes and stops on a dime, and I got thrown forward. I'm like, man, this sucker is trained. I mean, trained. This horse. It was so cool. And, of course, before I go to get on the horse, you know, I've got my jeans on and I've got my half chaps on, and I look at him and I'm like, do you mind if I ride in a – and Bill Murphy, my right open horse guy, goes, why, you going to fall off?
Well, maybe.
I said, Bill, I don't know, am I? He's like – I said, just don't make fun of me. Of course, they made fun of me the entire lesson. I mean, it was so easy. It was just too easy. And I got to tell you guys, I am so sore today, but not sore in the thighs because you can't ride a cutting horse with your thighs. You got to ride it with your butt. But they spin around so much that, like, my ab muscles and the muscles in between my rib cage and my back muscles, like all my core muscles are completely sore. So now you know why those big, tall, skinny guys ride the cutting horses, because they have to stay in shape because they're getting just wrenched back and forth and working their core muscles the entire time. But it was an awesome experience. And what's really, really cool is after the ride, which was like 3 hours, by the way, we didn't just go out there and do it. It was like we sit around, you chat, you let your horse catch his breath, and then he's like, all right, see that big brown one over there? I don't know if he talks Southern or not. I don't think so, but it just sounds Southern to me. See that big brown cow over there?
Talks cowboy.
Yeah, exactly. It's just cowboy talk. Ride on in there and get that one out. So the coolest thing was I learned how to ride into a herd and cut an individual cow out of the herd and bring it out to the front. It was very, very cool.
You had a video on Facebook that you put up there yesterday of you trying to herd a buffalo, and I think the buffalo had one up on you.
Oh my gosh, that buffalo kicked my butt. So he's like, oh, yeah, well, what you have to do, my first little lesson, and I had to put the phone down with the video camera, the iPhone down after that, because it was so distracting to have a big computer in your back pocket when you're trying to ride a cutting horse. I had one of the girls videotape me. I'm like, my first one, okay? He's like, just go get that buffalo and just keep it on the fence. That's all I was supposed to do. And apparently buffalo are great to herd because they won't quit. They will, like, go until they die. They will try to get away from you until they die. That's why they use buffalo, because the cows get tired or the cows get kind of trained to it, and the cows are like, whatever, we'll just stand here. Why would we run? So we were cutting this buffalo. I'm sorry. That sucker was fast, and I was in way over my head trying to keep that buffalo on the fence. What you didn't see was in the video, if it's on our Facebook page, the buffalo cuts right, cuts left, cuts right, cuts left, and I'm staying with it, and then it cuts left, and I did not stay with it at all. I mean, I got thrown, not off the horse, but over the shoulder. My horse stops, cuts right, and takes off, and I'm like, just trying to catch up with the motion. Now, before that, or it might have been after that, that buffalo took off. And this is we're in a round pen, but it's like hundreds of feet. You know, it's a huge round pen.
Yeah, I was going to
say
the big pen. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And that buffalo took off and just started running around the round pen. So what does my horse do? Trusty Holly that I was riding takes off at a gallop. I mean, We're not talking loping along. We're talking this thing is chasing down a buffalo, and we are hauling butt. And all I kept thinking is, please don't stop. If that buffalo were to like cut back the other way, I guarantee you that horse would have cut back the other way, and I guarantee you my butt would have kept going straight. I was like, please don't stop. There's no way I'm going to stay on. And finally, he goes, all right, that's enough. And I was like, thank God. Bill told me to pull the horse up, and I pulled it up. He was like, that buffalo got the best of you. Let's go ahead and try a cow. I was like, thank God. Too hard.
A 20-year-old cow, preferably. A nice slow cow.
Do you have any dairy cattle out here? Because that would kill the whole scene.
Need milk. Udders hanging to the ground.
So it appears then that the sport of cutting, physics play a large part. That whole an object in motion will want to stay in motion.
In motion.
Yeah.
Exactly. And wow. The thing is, like, you're not supposed to squeeze with your knees. This is what he's telling me. He's like, don't squeeze with your knees because you'll stop the shoulder from turning. And he says, they'll go around your knee. They're that trained. And I said, okay, so what do you just keep your
How
weight in your heels?
How do they go around
like,
your knees?
Yeah, they're trained. Your knee stops their shoulder. So they go around it. It's weird. They do like a figure eight instead of cut right. So he knows when you're squeezing with your knees. So you can't squeeze with your knees. So I said, okay, so your weight's in your heels. And he was like, nope. You don't want to keep your weight in your heels because that'll push you up off the saddle, and when the horse stops, you go flying off. I said, okay. So you hold on to the horn? He was like, nope, you don't want to hold on to the horn because if you hold on the horn and the horse stops short, you're going to go flying off. I said,
there's just not a lot of options left, Jamie.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I'm like, what the hell the heck are you supposed to stay on this thing? He's like, with your butt. Well, my butt is in a saddle. So you're supposed to push, you keep your hand on the horn, but you don't grab the horn. You keep the palm of your hand pushes on the horn to keep yourself.
You don't get impaled when the horse stops.
Yeah, that too. So you're supposed to push your hand down into the horn to hold you on. And he goes, but you don't want to push, you know, your elbow into your stomach because if the horse stops, you're going to go flying off. How many options are there right now to go flying off? Pretty much, if you screw up anything, you're going to go flying off the saddle. I said to him after my first ride I rode over, I'm like, thank God I'm wearing my helmet.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we're glad you were too. I think that's in your contract, by the way, that you have to wear helmets when you do crazy things on horses.
Yeah, I tell people
us.
That.
Yeah, yeah.
I tell people that. I'm like, I'll get fired if I don't. It's in my contract.
Hey, I got to say, though, you know, you probably, as an English girl, sometimes, you know, certain of the English folk pick on the Western folk for not having, you know, for not being able, you know, crazy, just not well ridden. That gives you a whole new respect, doesn't it? For how trained and well-ridden these horses are.
You know what? It's like it's riding with a purpose. You know, this is like something that cowboys do. They do because they have to cut the horse out of the herd, and then they have to, like, lay it down. They have to brand it. And, I mean, this has a purpose. And it's the most athletic thing I have done on a horse in a long time. It was really hard. And I'm really sore this morning to prove it. But it's – those horses are phenomenal. I mean, they are bred to do that. They are bred, and it is in their blood to stop that cow. But I would have you know. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I have a question. Follow-up question.
I was way better at the end of the day. I should have videoed that because I did do better. I learned. I just looked terrible in the first video.
How much steering are you actually doing, or is the horse doing it all and you're just trying to stay on?
The jumping
back and forth when he's cutting and doing all that stuff. Are you actually doing anything with the reins? Are you pretty much just letting the horse do it?
Glenn, here's the rules. Okay, you're supposed to take your horse up to the line where you're going to stand, and you put your hands down on the neck. And every time you lift your hands to help your horse, you get minus a point. So you are doing nothing. The only thing you're doing with your horse is kicking it to make it go, like to encourage it to go faster. So you might kick a little bit, but you are not allowed to touch their face at all.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That must have driven you nuts. I mean, yeah. Not having any contact at all.
I can see a really practical application here. For people who are thinking about buying themselves their Sarah, the mid-level dressage rider, wannabe Grand Prix rider. So she's going to go buy herself the most athletic, five digits in my price tag, five-year-old warm blood imported from some foreign country that she can find. Invariably, the horse that fits that description is also the horse that's afraid of his own whiskers.
Of course.
So you need to take a cutting lesson and decide whether or not you really want to have an incredibly athletic, five digits in your price tag, five-year-old imported from some foreign country, green, spooky, warm blood. Because if you can't stay on that cutting horse, you're not going to be staying on that warm blood.
That's a very good point, because
that's
awesome. Kind of what, yeah, it's definitely like the spin of a spooking horse, but they're doing it on purpose. That's exactly
so cool.
Right. Right.
Except your instinct, Jennifer, when a horse spins and spooks is to sit up and pull back on the reins.
Yeah, to cling, sure.
Not let go and just like don't squeeze with your knees. Don't put your heels in the stirrups. I mean, don't, you know, lock your legs down in the stirrups. You got to keep your heels down, your legs loose. What are you talking about? You want me to just sit here, not do anything?
Well, anybody who's ever worked with show hunters versus equitation horses, the short period of time I spent doing the show hunter thing, that was the most difficult thing in the world for me because it's very similar. You do so little. I mean,
right.
Okay, you need to shorten the stride a little bit, so exhale and blink your eyes.
Yeah.
I would be clinging and sending that horse into, like, tornado spins, squeezing my knees, I'm sure.
You would think until you've got John Wayne sitting behind you telling you what to do every second.
Does he have, like, a megaphone or something?
No, but you hear him, you know. When he talks, you heard him.
Well, we should mention that your John Wayne will be on with us later this morning, right?
Oh, yes. Bill Murphy, who, you know, actually I didn't realize that Bill is actually kind of a big deal. I just thought I was going with some chick going down to, like, take a cutting horse lesson. But he's actually an NCHA, which is the National Cutting Horse Association. He's a judge. And it's kind of like in dressage, you can go up the rankings. Well, he's a 4A judge, which is the highest ranking of judge that you can get. So Bill Murphy, my coach, my personal John Wayne, he's my cutting coach. He did tell me that I need to come back and ride again. And he's like, I'll put you on an even better horse. And I'm thinking, I can barely stay on this one. You know, exactly. And I said, let me guess, that horse is for sale, you know. I said, he said, we need to get you a cutting horse. And I said, listen here, I just bought a farm in Phoenix where my husband has been building jumps and getting me little jumping horses and lesson ponies and all that. I said, Bill, I will get a divorce if I come home and tell my husband we got to get some cows.
You have chickens. I mean, you have almost everything else. Hey, Alan Moorhead, who we talked about and gave a shout out earlier because of his thumb, our Western, he's host of the Western radio show, wrote on Facebook, now it's time to get Jamie on a barrel horse, too. Same kind of things at each barrel, ride right or fly off. We'll make her throw rocks at that English stuff yet. So there you go. Alan's
really
all proud of you.
I did think that Alan would get a real big kick out of me riding Western because he kind of gives me a hard time about being an English rider. So, Alan, I would like for you to know that I have actually ridden barrels before, thank you very much, on my thoroughbred that I had. And I was like 13 years old, and it was one of those horse shows that has everything, English in one arena, Western in a different arena. So I entered my thoroughbred in the barrel horse competition. And I think it is still on record right now as the slowest barrel race in the history of that horse. Big old 16-inch thoroughbred was not flying around those barrels. I think he was more spooking at it. So that was my barrel horse experience. So, yeah, we'll have to try it again. Hey, before we get to our first guest, Glenn, I got to let you know about our sponsor for today, and we do appreciate Pfizer being a part of the show. You can help protect your horse with Pfizer Animal Health's West Nile Innovator, the first vaccine developed to help protect against equine West Nile virus. West Nile Innovator is available in several combinations, along with Eastern, Western, Venezuelan equine encephalomyelitis, and tetanus for convenient protection. Contact your veterinarian about West Nile Innovator and other Innovator family vaccines, or learn more at PfizerAH.com. That's PfizerAH.com.
Thank you to Pfizer. We appreciate you being part of the show. Jamie, I'm excited. We have a new segment that we're going to try and do once a month here on Horses in the Morning. And, of course, you're listening to Horses in the Morning with myself, Glenn the Geek, and Jamie Jennings and Jennifer H. over there producing. And we have a new segment that I want to try and get to do every month, and I'm calling it Drive On with Mike. And his name is Mike Arnold. He is a driver and a guru, a competitive driver, and he does drivingnews.us, where he keeps track of all the driving news around the country and the world. And we have Mike Arnold on here with us, who just came off of a show, I think, in Florida this past weekend. Good morning, Mike, and welcome to Horses in the Morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate you being on. I'm excited because you know how I love driving. It's one of my favorite things in all of the horse kingdom. And you're a driver, and I think you got the whole family involved now. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into driving and what you're doing now.
Well, you know, it's like everything else. We started out, my wife wanted to go look for a harness after in Georgia. We were visiting some relatives. And despite my objections, we went to look at the harness, and then ended up buying the harness, some more harness, a carriage or two, a horse, its foal, and we were set.
What? Are you kidding me?
Is that not the typical story? I don't know.
Wow.
That's pretty typical.
Wow.
Now, were you a horse person before this, or were you just the horse husband married into it?
Well, no, I grew up with a pony and a horse myself, as did my wife, and we rode together in high school even.
Okay, so you've been involved for a long time.
Okay.
So that's how you got involved into driving, and now you're in driving big time. You're a competitor, right?
Well, I have not been allowed to compete since my son took over my horse. Is that also not
so
typical? But no,
so
I decided that once we got all that stuff, that we weren't just going to have it, let it sit in the shed somewhere. So we started competing, and then we had kids. Or actually, the kids were born before that, I guess. And then there we go. After a while, I start to go fast in combined driving events. We did a little pleasure show first in combined driving events, and then Jacob decided he wanted to try it. So he tried it on his pony first, Duke the Wonder Pony, and Duke the Wonder Pony soon became too little for him or not fast enough or something. He wanted to go fast on Shadow, the mare that we had been competing, and that's the rest of the story. He's competed ever since, and he's now competing at Advanced Single Horse.
Wow, okay.
So
and that's
not,
of course,
you're not just a horse husband, you're also a horse dad, and you're also the horse competitor, or you used to be, because your son took over. I love that. That's you fill every slot. You can check every box.
I can. This past weekend, in fact, Daddy Bragg, if I'm the daddy horse daddy there, then Jacob won the FEI single horse class at Little Everglades.
Oh, wow. Yay. Well, congratulations to him. You can brag about that. That's allowed.
Yeah, that was great. In fact, he won the marathon and then went double clean on cones, one of very few to do so, and just won. It was really great. And he's just turned 18. So it's a it's not common for a young driver to win.
Well, I do have a question for you. You know, you said you were down at the Little Everglades. So that makes me wonder, in the water obstacles down there, do they have alligators? Do you have to go around them too?
Well, thank goodness the live alligators were not in the water hazard itself. But
okay,
they
good,
did have
good.
A pond out back that did have an alligator in it, at least one.
You know, the funniest story we have about that is we were trying to do up at the Myopia Hunt Club when my wife worked there. They were holding a horse show, and it was early in the morning, and in the arena was sort of down by a creek. And we went out to get everything set up for the horse show. First thing in the morning, all these people showing up, probably 100 riders showing up. And we had to delay the horse show because out in the arena where all the jumps were all of these huge snapping turtles laying babies in the arena. They were laying eggs in the arena, and they were all hunkered down all over the arena in front of the jumps. There must have been 30 of them.
Oh.
And what are you
going
to do with a snapping turtle that's 2 feet long that weighs, you know, 50 pounds? We thought, okay, well, we couldn't shoo them. That wasn't working very good because they wanted to lay their eggs. So we got a big blanket. We thought, we'll throw it over. We'll carry them out. That didn't work so good. Talk about losing your arm with a snapping turtle bite. So we had to wait. We had to hold up the show and wait until they laid their eggs and decided it was time to move. And then they're snapping turtles. They're turtles. They're not rabbits. So you had to wait until they made their way slowly, one step at a time, across the ring. Finally, it got to the point where there were like four or five left that we said, we're going to have to start the show and just work around them. So that's what the riders had to go around the turtles to do the jump.
What'd you do with the eggs?
We didn't do anything with the eggs. We just ignored that they were there because what were we going to do? We had to do the show. They were all over the ring. It was the most bizarre thing. That was one of the most bizarre starts to a show that I've ever seen. So now tell us about the driving season. You're doing combined driving, which we've talked about here on the show before. That's sort of like the event of the driving world, the three-phase event of the driving world. And it's coming up in that season now where we all get started. And you have a big event coming up here in a week or two, right?
Right. There's a smaller event in Black Prong. I think that's on the 12th and 13th. We have the Ohio ADT on the 19th. And then the 24th through the 27th is probably the biggest event in the U.S., Live Oak International CDE. And that's in Ocala, Florida.
And that's held at Chester Weber's farm, right?
That's held at Chester Weber's farm. And, in fact, this year it's the USEF Pony and Pair National Championships.
Okay. We're doing the national championships already? Didn't the season just start?
Well, the driving season hardly stops because of the summer. During the summer, there's not a lot of competitions going on for combined driving events. So except for a short winter break, and this winter it seemed very short, we have – events up in the fall and then in the spring. And they started out pretty early. The first event was in February, early February, at Sunshine State, February 3rd. So that was kind of an early start to the season. And so it just seems that they allocate shows for the national championships. It's just the way it works.
Now I've driven by. My brother lives about 2 miles from the from Chester's farm down there in Ocala. So I've driven by it, but I've never actually been inside of the property itself because people, you can drive around his farm and it'll take you 30 minutes to drive the roads around his farm. It's a huge place and it looks like it's absolutely beautiful.
It is absolutely beautiful, and during the show. There are so many people that come out to watch the event. It's just amazing, just amazing.
Well, now you go there, and are you participating this year? Are you going to cover it, or what are you doing this year?
Well, it's our plan for Jacob to compete at Advanced Single Horse, or in this case, I guess it's FEI Single Horse. FEI when we have when it's a CAI event. And so that's what's going to happen. The this year, actually, they're allowing preliminary entries. So far, in the past, it's just been intermediate and FEI. I don't know. The driving has a number of levels, just like everything else. There's a training level, a preliminary level, an intermediate level, and an advanced level. Advanced is managed by the USEF, and FEI, which is really the same rules, is managed by the FEI. The other levels are managed by the American Driving Society.
So explain something to me, because I've been wondering this. Like with eventing, it's easy to understand how the different levels go, especially on cross-country day or marathon day, as it's called, with driving. So in eventing, you can have smaller jumps. All right. So when you're doing marathon day, you're just jumping smaller jumps. You maybe have a smaller course. It's just everything smaller. But in driving, because you're driving through obstacles, they can't really have smaller obstacles. So how do they do the lower levels?
Right. Well, in general, what it is that the course is shorter for the lower levels, and then there are less gates. The way it works in an obstacle is you're timed during – there's a start and entry point, and you're timed from the beginning till when your nose passes the beginning until your nose passes the end. Well, not your nose, your horse's nose. And
that makes a difference when your carriage is that long.
It does. And there are gates. There's an A gate, a B, all the way up through F for advanced, and each of the levels has a different number of gates.
Okay.
So
all right. So that
the key being
so
is
you
that
may have
you
five
gates
or
gates.
Seven. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I was going to say you may have seven or eight gates for the higher levels and four gates for the lower levels.
Well, there are six gates. It's
okay.
Only through F for the highest level, and then lower levels can have from three gates on. And you have to go through the gates in order, A, B, and C. And you can't go through B before you go through A.
Okay, so let me see if I got my head around this, Mike. I'm a visual kind of person. So if you're a lower-level competitor, you might come to an obstacle, which to the average person who's never watched driving looks like a scattered heap of trees or barrels or concrete things or something that you just – it's just this thing. There's no jumping involved. A gate consists of two flags, a left and a right. Am I correct?
That's right.
So you have a left. Is it white on the left, red on the right, like an eventing?
Red on the right.
Okay. So gate A is the first one you have to pass through in the correct direction.
That's right.
And the gate might be the left flag is on a tree and the right flag is on another tree. So you squeeze between the two of them. And then you have to have memorized it because somehow or another – you're going to have to turn somewhere and get to gate B without crossing between the flags that created gate A. Is that how it works?
Well, once you go through A, it's dead, so you can go back through it again.
Oh, okay, but you can't go through C to get there.
That's correct.
Okay, so, and there's not a diagram that says you must do it this way or even you should do it this way. It's completely up to you. And your little navigator man in the back to figure out how the heck to get from A to B to C to D.
That's correct. And with the more gates you have, the more complicated it can get.
But the little navigator man in the back is allowed to scream and yell at the top of his lungs at his driver to make sure he's going the correct direction.
Well, if usually only the driver has to know. You're really moving too fast unless there's a problem going on.
See, that's what I like about this sport, though, because it makes me think of pre-GPS days. You have the driver. You have the backseat driver. The backseat driver is screaming, and sometimes they do, at the guy in the front who's got the reins or the steering wheel, make a left, make a left. It's awesome.
That happens
that's
a lot,
true.
Actually. And you're just going around as fast as you can. With the more gates you have, the more complicated it gets. And people have some pretty innovative approaches to the routes they take. But it really depends on your horse too. If your horse is bending to the left really well today, as opposed to the right, you might take routes that are kind of left oriented.
So there is some strategy involved, obviously. So tell us, this year, I know that Chester, when you get up to the upper levels and the forehands and things like that, Chester has been the one to watch in recent years. Is that still the case here in the United States?
For the forehand driving, Chester is the one to watch. This year, the way the world championships work, they alternate. Every other year, one year is the forehands, and singles, single horses, and the other year it's pairs and ponies. So all the ponies, singles, pairs, and teams compete in, and that's this year. That's the odd year.
Gotcha. Okay, cool.
Yeah, at this weekend's event, Chester came out with a couple of new horses that he just bought. They look great. And then there were a couple of other competitors that had also competed at the WAG there.
Well, cool. This will be fun. Will you come on back? Come back on with us after the Oaks is done and give us a report?
I sure will.
All right, cool. We'll look forward to that. Well, thank you, Mike. And, of course, give everybody your website where they can find more information about driving.
Drivingnews.us.
All right. Thank you, Mike. We appreciate you being on. That's drivingnews.us. Okay. Well, there you go. Do you know how to go through an obstacle now, Jamie? You're all set? You're ready to go?
I think that's interesting because, first of all, I had no idea how that worked, but it's almost like an eventing course where you have to kind of map the best way for you. What I didn't get to ask him is, do they get to walk the course first or anything like that?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
Actually,
cool.
I walked the WEG course with our friend Rochelle last year, and we were out there with a bunch of the drivers as they were walking the course, and she was able to tell me, because she's a groom for the top-level drivers, she was able to tell me exactly what they were looking at and how they were planning it as we watched them walk it. It was pretty cool because there are so many. You know, you talk about six gates. Those horses and carriages are going through, you know, what seems like the most odd random pattern through those gates. And they're flying. I mean, they're just flying. It's incredible to watch. It's fun. So I hope to get a report from him on the Oaks. I know my brother's going to go over, too, and watch it. When you live 2 miles from there, you don't miss the Oaks, apparently. Everybody in Ocala goes out for that.
Really?
It's a big deal there in Ocala.
It's an exciting sport. I still have yet to see it in person, so I want to. But I know that I've been on my cross-country courses galloping around, and then I've seen some of these obstacles that are out there, and it's just, I'm like, what is that? Driving. How do they get through that sucker? What do you mean driving? I can barely pick my way on one horse through that stuff. So we used to have fun with it at Masterson Station. They've got a couple different little driving places, and we'd try to figure out, we'd have to go around them to go through the jumps in the trees. So it was fun.
We were out walking in Masterson around the jumps the other day. That was fun. It was fun. Well, today's song is brought to you by award-winning leather therapy products that make caring for your leather a whole lot easier. They are scientifically formulated, earth-friendly products. Leather Therapy Wash and Restore cleans, conditions, and protects your leather tack against mold. Laundry Solution Rinse and Dressing cleans and conditions leather chaps, full-seat breeches, and sheepskin in the washing machine. And the newest member of the Leather Therapy family, Saddle Pad and Blanket Wash and Rinse, to clean, brighten, and eliminate odors on blankets, waterproof turnouts, and saddle pads. Even dog beds will be clean and fresh with these new Leather Therapy additions. And you can check them all out at leathertherapy.com. Today's song is Tupcumcari Woman, and it's by Dan Roberts. We thought we'd play a Dan Roberts song. We had him on yesterday. If you missed yesterday's show, please stop back and listen to it. We spent the whole hour with Dan, as we mentioned earlier in the show. He was a lot of fun, and he was out there working cattle. Speaking of working cattle, that must have got you in the mood. See, that's what it was, Jamie. It got you in the mood to go work some cattle. And you'll hear cattle for the first time mooing on one of our shows here if you take a listen to yesterday. But you'll also hear a lot of terrific music and all of his stories about working with Garth Brooks, which basically he either had Jamie with goosebumps the entire time or crying her eyeballs out. Both of those things happened in yesterday's show.
Tupcumcari woman in your Tupcumcari clothes. You got eyes as soft as moonlight, lips like petals of a rose. Tupcumcari, Tupcumcari, Tupcumcari woman, I want to carry you home. I'm a bronco buster, too hilarious, but you're the first one that I've seen that I'd marry. Oh yeah, I'd marry to come carry woman. I want to carry you home.
Find all his music at oldbootsmusic.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning, brought to you by Pfizer Animal Health, with me, Jamie Jennings, and also with Glenn the Geek. And I didn't even get to talk to you, Glenn, about your weekend, because I know you guys had family in town, and I wanted to know how that went.
Well, it went pretty well. I'm going to be very careful how I say this morning, because it's gotten me in trouble before. I was with three beautiful women all weekend, and my wife was the first one of those. And then my niece Amanda was in from New York City, who actually had been around horses before, but now she lives in Brooklyn, I think. And then we also had our friend Chrissy Joy here, and we all went out to the movies on Saturday night. So later in the week, we're going to have Chrissy Joy back, who's now sort of our movie correspondent here by default, because Michelle's been so busy. But Chrissy Joy is going to be back, and we're going to talk about, we went to see the movie that you loved. Which one did you see most recently that you loved, Amy?
You went to see True Grit, because I saw it on your Facebook page.
Yes, we did. We went to see True Grit. And it was, so what happened was, I wanted to see True Grit, and Jennifer wouldn't go with me to see True Grit because she just couldn't handle it. So
Why? She
went to see The King's Speech. She doesn't like those kind of movies where there's that kind of stuff going on. So she went to see The King's Speech with my niece Amanda, and which we had seen before. This was the second time seeing it. And then we went to see True Grit. So I'm going to hold off telling you how I felt about True Grit until we get Chrissy Joy on a little later in the week, and we'll all chat about True Grit. Because Chrissy actually picked up on some horse discrepancies throughout the movie. She's an actress, and she watches how it's made, and she's always looking at the scenes and breaking them down in her mind. And she came out of the movie and said, "Did you see this? And did you see this? And I said, "I didn't see any of that. I was really watching the movie." But she had all of these little things. So we'll have to talk about them and see if you noticed them too. But I'll tell you what, we watched the Oscars then on Sunday night, which is the first time I've watched it in forever. But when you have an actress in the house, And an artsy person from New York City, you have to watch the Oscars, and you have to pick everybody's outfits apart and all of that. And
that explains it. Okay.
Yeah, I got to tell you. Yeah, that's why we ended up watching it. But, oh, man, I got to tell you, bring back Billy Crystal. You know, Anne Hathaway did a great job hosting. I thought she did a good job. Let's say a good job.
Really?
She did a good job. I think she did a good job. The guy she was with was useless. He looked, I forget even who it was. His name totally eludes me. Thank you. He was awful. He looked like he was drugged out of his mind. He looked like he was phoning it in, that he hadn't even been there, or that he wasn't even there. He wasn't even reading the cue cards enthusiastically. She, on the other hand, would have been much better off if it had just been her. She was terrific. And there were some scenes with it with was just her. It was much better than when he was there because he was dragging her down. It was awful. And you and I host things. We know how that goes sometimes when you're put with somebody that you just can't get, there's no chemistry there whatsoever. Well, that's the way it was. And I felt so bad for her because she was really trying, and he wasn't helping at all. That was pretty bad. But I was very happy to see that the King's Speech, which Jennifer and I saw, now Jennifer's seen twice, the King's Speech was so good, and it won for Best Picture, and it should have, and Colin Firth won for Best Actor, and he should have. It was an excellent movie. If you haven't seen it yet, you should really get out to see it.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one, but I must tell you that I did watch Oprah yesterday because I was trying to take
Why?
A nap after my riding lesson. And Anne Hathaway, Oprah did like a post-Oscars special, and it was actually pretty interesting to hear Anne Hathaway. She had Anne Hathaway on, and they were just gushing over her, saying how great she did. And I guess it was really hard for James Franco because, first of all, he was in one of the movies. He's promoting one of the movies. He was nominated. The movie was nominated. And, he goes to, like, Harvard and is getting, like, his fourth PhD or something like that. That guy that you said looked drugged out, I think he was just tired. Apparently, right after the Oscars, he had to board a plane to go back to New York so he could go back to school on Monday morning.
Well, okay, I'll give you all of that, but then he shouldn't have been hosting the Oscars, where there's a billion people watching. And
yeah,
there's
that's
a billion
true.
People going, he's absolutely awful. Why was he there? You know, so, you know, that,
everybody
that,
hated
that's
him?
All I'm saying.
Okay.
Oh, yes. Yeah, pretty much everybody in the room went, why is he there? And then all the reports you hear after, this Oscars did not get a good review, although I thought they kept it moving pretty good compared to previous years. They did keep it moving pretty good. Now, I fell asleep before the kids from that school in New York came on to sing, but I did see that on YouTube later, and you really should take a look at that. They were terrific. It's a public school where they have this music program, and they were just terrific. I was my highlight of the night, actually. But I don't know about you. Are you into fighting movies, like fighter movies?
I know you're talking about The Fighter, and
yeah.
I'll tell you, the two types of movies I go see in the theater are either romantic period piece dramas, because there's nothing I love more than, seeing Keira Knightley dressed up and, doing a Jane Austen movie, or comedies. So those are pretty much the two. I don't see scary. I don't see violent. I just don't see those kind of movies. Except for True
Grit. I'm surprised
you
went to see True Grit, yeah, because that certainly had its share of violence. But The Fighter won a bunch of awards. Oh, okay, gotcha. So The Fighter won a bunch of awards, and I'm not a fighting fan, and I just don't like fighting movies, and fighting movies have been done, and, after Sylvester Stallone, how are you going to do them one again and make it good? So apparently people loved it. It got some awards. And then, of course, The Social Network got some awards as well, which I thought on a scale of 1 to 10 was about a 6. It was an okay movie, but it wasn't terrific. I didn't think it was absolutely terrific. And it won for musical score. And the thing that surprised me about that was I don't remember the music in The Social Network at all. I just don't even remember it. So obviously it didn't, it didn't resonate with me at all. But I don't know. There's others out there that I'm sure are saying The Fighter was a great movie. And you can let us know what you thought. If you watched the Oscars the other night, did you agree with me or not? Let me know what you think. It was just my opinion.
So that little girl that was in True Grit did not win the Oscar?
No, she didn't. And that was for supporting actress, and the lady who did win supporting actress was in The Fighter, and she was the one that dropped the F-bomb during the show, and of course that was all the talk the day after, too. She looked like it was an absolute shock that she won, and she had nothing prepared. I didn't like her at all. When you, if that's all, that's all I'd ever seen her in, was the Oscars acceptance speech. And if you, that's all you'd ever seen her in, you would have thought that she was high as a kite that night too.
I saw her on Oprah. She was on Oprah too, and she was very surprised, but she also was like, apparently she's the first person in Oscar history to drop the F-bomb. And that's what she was saying. She was like, I'm shocked, but that's just the way that I was raised, and that's how we talked growing up, and my kids talk like that. I mean, not around their grandmother, but I'm sorry if I offended anybody, but I was like, you dropped the F-bomb on the Oscars, and then you talk about how you and your children say that on Oprah?
I know.
Like,
I know.
What?
She didn't come across as the most articulate woman that ever acted in films. That, let's put it that way. And then she won, and I'm thinking, that little 14-year-old girl who the one thing I will say about that movie is she, you know, what is her name, by the way, that was in True Grit? Do you remember?
Haley Steinfeld or something.
She was unbelievable. You know, and of course that role calls for that actress to come across as one tough little 14-year-old. And let me tell you, she came across as one tough, smart little 14-year-old. She did a terrific job with that movie and should have won that award, hands down. I was disappointed about that.
I know, me too. But I got to tell you, Chad and I went back and watched True Grit, the original one with John Wayne as Rooster Cogburn.
Yes, yep.
And
yep.
That little 14-year-old was amazing. So, you know, it's just an amazing role, I guess, to play. But the cool thing about Haley Steinfeld is she actually, the 14-year-old that played in that, had never been in a movie before, ever.
No.
And it's like,
isn't that amazing?
Okay, you got a part. What's the part I got? You're going to be in a movie with Jeff Bridges and Matt Damon.
Yes.
What?
And you're going to be a lead role.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, anyway, it was pretty interesting that she didn't win, but the chick from The Fighter dropped the F-bomb, and I'm sure they're regretting picking her now. But, again, haven't seen The Fighter. Have no idea.
Now, I didn't notice. I watched her acceptance speech, but I think we were all sitting around talking. By the way, I realized that the two girls that were with us this weekend are 23 and 25, 26, somewhere in that range. So, you know, and they're both very intelligent, articulate girls, and you know, you can talk to them and stuff. But I didn't realize the generation gap became clearly evident when Jennifer and I were sitting there watching the movies or watching the Oscars with these two. The generation gap between us and them was so evident as they were talking about which fashions they liked, you know, the actresses and actors they liked. And we're sitting there looking at each other going, ew! And they're loving on, you know, on this particular dress, and we're going, ew! And you realize the generation gap there. It's definitely there. No question about it.
You're
old.
Glenn.
I'm old.
Is that your way of saying you feel old?
Yeah, I really felt old when watching the Oscars with these two because, I really felt old. It was an interesting experience.
Yep.
Hang up my Spurs.
That's
soon.
Awesome.
Well, we're just we're trying to get a hold of Tammy here. Tammy has this habit of sleeping. I'm going to throw her under the bus now that she hasn't come on with us to give us the report on the road to the horse when she was supposed to. She has this habit of sleeping in late down there in Texas. I don't know how late her horses get fed. But our world championship shooter, host of the Western radio show, sleeps in late every day. And I mean, late, she'll sleep from 9 to 10 o'clock. And I'm going, what about your poor horses out there? She said, they're used to being fed at 9 to 10 o'clock. Well, I guess that's a good point. we're having trouble getting her on the line. Hopefully she'll call in here in a bit. And you know what? We're going to take another break, and we're going to play another song because we're going to try and get Tammy on the line. And then if we can't get Tammy on the line, we'll get her another day this week to talk about Road to the Horse. And, of course, the one who won Road to the Horse, well, we're not going to tell you until we can get Tammy on the line. But then we're going to have your trainer, your new trainer on the phone, Jamie's Western Cutting Trainer, is going to hopefully be here by the name of Bill Murphy. And it has no relation to the actor, right?
No, definitely not.
Okay, good. This is Horses and Life. Mm-hmm.
Passion was born at birth. Until my last day on earth, it'll be life.
With Marianne Kennedy, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning. And one of the things I wanted to talk to Tammy about was she posted a picture on her Facebook page, Jamie, of her and Marianne Kennedy together. So apparently Marianne Kennedy was down there at Rode a Horse as well. So I wanted to talk to her about that too. And, you know, one of the other things we did this weekend, Jamie, I wanted to mention was we went to the Kentucky Horse Park, and every time you bring somebody into Lexington that hasn't been here before, you have to take them to the Kentucky Horse Park. And our niece happens to be, went to college for to be a museum curator. So we had to take her to the Horse Museum, the International Museum of the Horse, the Kentucky Horse Park. And one of the exhibits they had there that I had not seen before was an exhibit about Elvis and his horses. And
no way!
Apparently, yeah, and apparently it's new. They had all kinds of pictures and stuff. And, of course, that just made me think of how cool it's going to be when we get to go to Graceland in May and record the morning show from there. So apparently, you know, horses were a huge part of his life, and they had lots of pictures there. So that was kind of neat. It was kind of fun to see that exhibit at the horse park.
It's like you got a little education on it before you're actually going to go there.
Yeah. You know, I've been through that museum several times, but it's always fun to see it. It is fun to go through it. And then, of course, everybody has to go out. You know where the big chairs were outside the museum that were the jumps that from the original event back in the 70s, the big huge chairs that were used as jumps. Well, beside them now, they brought up the swan or the goose, the big goose from last year's WEG, and also the terrapin from last year's WEG, and they put them beside the chairs so you can sit on there and take pictures and everything. So, of course, we had to go out and do that. How many times have I been to the horse park? And every time we have to go do that. It's just required.
You took me there. And I'm like, I've been here before.
I know. It's just required. It's something you do with everybody you know. You have to go get your picture taken on. You know, this time we skipped the chairs and we were just on the goose. So that's what we did this time.
Well, hey, I wanted to mention, too, that, you know, the museum that you were mentioning, Robert Vavra, which is the guy that takes those phenomenal pictures of horses, and mainly, I mean, it seems like he uses a lot of Andalusians, and he's just this critically acclaimed photographer of horses. Well, starting March 15th, in like 15 days, too bad your friend, your niece wasn't here now, those are going to be on exhibit at the Kentucky Horse Park Museum. Robert Vavra. Yeah, and I was like, oh, I got to go see him. Oh, no, I'm not going to be there March 15th. Oh, no, they're staying all the way through Rolex, all the way through the end of May. So you've got, like 2.5 months to go see Robert Vavra. And I'm sure that's not how to say his name. It's probably Vavra or something, something fancy. But, it's going to be there at the horse park. I'm super excited.
All right, cool. That sounds fun. You'll get to see it at Rolex.
Yeah, I know. It's either Rolex. Oh, so we have our next guest on the line. And this is my coach. This is my cutting coach that's going to be on the line. I've described him a couple times this morning as, you know, the John Wayne of cutting or the Rooster Cogburn without the eye patch. And I went to take a lesson yesterday on cutting with Bill Murphy, who, again, I didn't know he was such a big deal, but he's like a 4A judge. I guess they call it quad A judges in the Cutting Horse Association. And I think he's going to sell me out. And, well, I'm pretty sure he's going to say how awesome I was. Bill?
Sell her out, Bill. Yes. Sell her out.
she done really well. I was pleasantly surprised, actually. One thing about it, she rides well, so that helped.
So,
Didn't know a lot about cattle, but she began to learn. It won't take long, and she'll be a pro at it.
He's being nice.
She's going to have to get a belt buckle, though. She looked mighty English in those pictures.
Just a little different than what she was, yeah.
Yeah.
She doesn't look like a cowgirl in them outfits, does she?
No, there was no bling. There was no, like, sparkle at all there.
Yeah, I know it. But it was a fun day, and we had a lot of fun. And she, like I say, she surprised me. She was better than I thought she would be.
Really? See, you didn't tell me that.
I didn't want to get you too excited and get your head blowed up. But you thought you'd done real well. For your first lesson, I thought was real good.
I love it because I get off the trailer, I get out of the truck, and I'm like, can I wear my helmet? Will you make fun of me? And of course, Bill's response is, why? You gonna fall off?
Yeah, I asked her if she was gonna fall off. I said, you need a helmet. Do you think you're gonna fall off? He says, no, I don't think.
She almost did, though, apparently.
Bill, I got to tell you.
She was a long ways from falling off. She didn't even come close.
Oh, no.
Thanks, Bill. I got to tell you, though, I am so sore this morning. Oh, my gosh. Everything in my body hurts.
I bet you're right. I bet you're right. Not only is the, from the quick turns, stops and all that, and then you have a tendency to tighten up, and that makes you sore, too. So.
Oh, yeah. But my hand is sore. My shoulder's sore, my ribs are sore, my back is sore, my butt is sore.
You get sore all over.
So I was going to ask you, go ahead.
You need to just come more often, and then you'll get over that.
There you go.
I'm telling you, you need to do it more.
He's trying to sell me horses, trying to sell me cattle. He's going to get me divorced.
Yeah,
I
got
to ask you,
that.
How many how many crossovers do you get? Do you get a lot of English girls wanting to come out and take cutting lessons, or is that a rare event?
No, actually, it's pretty common.
Yeah,
we have a lot of them that, you know, they've done one discipline or another, and then they decide that, you know, it's kind of bored with it, and they want to try this the cattle deal. And with the cattle, in, you know, if put in there, it makes it a lot more interesting than, like, if you're riding a reining horse and it's all dry work and, you know, it's just you and your horse. But then you got to put a cow in there. That makes it a little more interesting, too.
Or a buffalo.
Or buffalo. Yeah, that makes it real interesting.
She was telling us the buffalo story.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they work good. You know, they don't eat as much as a cow, and they last. You can work that same buffalo for a year, and a cow, you get very few works out of a cow. You know, if you get 10 works, you're doing awful well.
I have a question for you there, Bill. Hold on, Jamie. I had a question for you. I'm going to throw you under the bus some more here. So now, she did a good job, obviously. You said that. But did she warn you when she got there that she was a radio talk show host and that she was going to be talking about this whole experience the next day on the radio?
She did. Kind of.
Oh, she did. Okay.
She did tell me, not right away, but pretty soon she told me she was on a radio talk show, and but she didn't tell me she was going to get me on here, though. She just said that that's what she done.
She held that out.
And then when she got ready to leave, she wanted to know if I would be willing to do that. So I said, sure, I'll do it.
Well, see, you guys, I had to set myself up, because if I had fallen off or made a complete idiot out of myself, I would not have had Bill on, because then he would have told everybody about it. But since I felt like I survived and I did okay, obviously Bill can come on and talk about it.
Yeah, that's right. If you would have had a big wreck, you wouldn't want me on there, would you?
Exactly. That's why I ask at the end. I do want to just quote Bill one second, because the buffalo, he says you can work the buffalo forever, and they keep going. At one point, this poor little baby buffalo had its tongue hanging out, purple tongue hanging out. It was panting and, like, looked like it wanted to just lay down and die. But, of course, it kept going. And Bill goes, that's when the buffalo get good, when their tongue starts hanging out.
Yeah, that's the way they are when they're just getting ready to go to work. You kind of got the air out of them, and then they can go to work.
Yeah, I think I got the air out of that first one as it ran around for 20 minutes of me chasing it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, a couple times she got going pretty fast.
Yeah. Got going
but
pretty
was,
fast.
All in all, it was fun. It was a good day. When, you know, she done well with her English attire on. She didn't look like it better, but she was doing pretty good.
Well, listen, Bill, thank you so much for being on the show, and I'm going to have to come out and take a second lesson and get a little better video of me, not where I'm about to, you know, come off of the horse while I'm working this ridiculous buffalo. So we'll have to have you back on again when I come out for my second lesson. Deal?
Okay. All right. That'd be just fine.
It might take 6 months for me to recover. It might be 6 months from now.
Okay. All right. Well,
all right,
thank you, guys.
Bye,
thanks, Bill.
Bye. And guess who we have on the line here? Guess who we have on the line? We have our oversleeper co-host friend, Jamie Sarant, who could not see to get her butt out of bed this morning to talk to us about Road to the Horse.
Can I explain? Can I have 30 seconds of, like, free time to explain?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Time's up.
I'm at school. I'm in a college lecture. Yes.
You're in the middle of a college lecture right now?
Oh, no, I'm in between classes. I finished an English class, and I am on the way to a U.S. history class, which is much needed for me.
Okay, well, Jamie, I have to talk to you about this, Jamie. What, you know, we have to talk about Tammy's priorities. You know, talk to us on the morning show or go to college to improve her life. I'm not sure. That's really a possibility. Oh,
morning show. Absolutely. What was I thinking?
What were you thinking?
You know what I was thinking, and not to get off the subject, but I was on my plane, and I get on there yesterday flying back from Rides of the Horse, and they're like, you are on a flight going to Dallas Love Field. And I'm like, oh, my God, that is not where I want to go. I thought, I am not that blonde that I booked the wrong destination, you know, because I need to go to Dallas-Fort Worth. That's where my car is, you know. So I got off the plane and talked to the lady, and anyway, I had to take the flight. And I was sitting there, and I'm thinking, there's no way. I'm not that stupid. I picked the right destination. Well, it works out they changed the destination on us, and they took us from Dallas Love Field, which is like kind of, you know, on the east side of Dallas, instead of Fort Worth. So anyway, I was sitting in my seat going, I didn't do this. I could not. So it works out they changed the flight for some reason on us, and I didn't. You know when you don't read those emails that Expedia sends you for the updates, and you're like, oh, whatever. That was probably an important update.
That's probably one of them. All right, well, anyway. we have about 8 minutes here, so let's talk about Road to the Horse. What was your impression?
Oh, my gosh. You know what? It was my first Road to the Horse. The American Competitive Trail Horse Association had sponsored the obstacle course for the clinicians. And I went and I thought, yeah, you know, I've been on tour with Clinton. And it's just same show, you know. And I could not have been more wrong. It was the most unbelievable experience I've ever had. I mean, it would outdo almost any shoot I've been to, any place I've gone. It was truly to honor the horse, you know. You had three of these great clinicians all competing at the same time and doing unbelievable things with horses after 4 hours. And all of them did a great job. They did. They had some tough colts, but it was more of the show that I was impressed with. And Chris Cox, so, just, it was unbelievable.
He ended up winning, right? Yeah.
For those people who don't know, Tammy, and again, I'm kind of new to the whole Road to the Horse thing, give us like the Reader's Digest version of what it is.
Yes, Road to the Horse, they bring a herd of not wild horses, but, you know, 2-year-olds in from a ranch. It was from the 4-6s. Each clinician picked out a horse. And I thought they would have the whole weekend to work with this horse, and that was wrong. They actually had 2 hours on Saturday and 2 hours on Sunday in the round pen with these colts. And that's all they had. And they had to take each horse they had through the obstacle course on the end of Sunday and to kind of see who had the best broke horse, only after 4 hours. I mean, they had one ride in the round pen, then they opened the gate, and they were in the big arena with a bunch of obstacles and 10,000 people screaming at them. So
and who was it?
What's that?
Who was it? It was Chris Cox.
It was
Pat
Chris
Pirelli.
Cox. It was Pat Pirelli, and it was Clinton Anderson. Yep.
Okay.
And Chris Cox came out to be the winner, and I really think he deserved it. He done a phenomenal job. So
really?
They had these horses going over jumps, and they had weaving through poles and doing. If you go to my Facebook page and just Facebook Tammy Schrantz, I have posted probably about 10, 15 videos of the actual competition. You can see the round pens. You can see, you know, them on the obstacle course. And so, you know, that would be a good way for someone to get an idea of what went on. But it was an unbelievable experience. I wouldn't do that after 4 hours on the calls.
No, who would? Now, I did hear from somebody that one of the clinicians got bucked off.
Yes. Yes, they did. And, you know, not to give everyone all the websites to go to, but if you go to YouTube and you put Pirelli colt bucking, it's going to show you the video. Pirelli
really?
Got on his colt. Yeah, and it seemed like he had the most gentle colt. He had the first saddle. He had the first, you know, run around the round pen. He done the most groundwork. And you thought, man, you know, this guy's got lucky. He got a quiet colt. And those colts were surprising. He jumped on this horse. And just from what I saw, I think he kind of was taking the horse around to a circle. I think he was going to the right, and he was kind of lent off balance a little bit, you know, looking down at that horse's nose and pulling that horse around. That horse actually walked 3 or 4 circles and then just sucked back and went up, you know. And the horse actually continued to buck after he had had, some people say he slipped off, some people say he bucked off, you know, it's all objective. But I think when your shoulders hit the ground and your hat falls off, it's probably not voluntary.
Probably not.
Oh, here, I'm watching it. Ooh.
Isn't that the ultimate insult when you're a cowboy is when your hat comes off?
And then he had to, I'm watching the video right now, Tammy, and then he had to actually get out of the way because the sucker came for him.
Yeah, and you know what? The horse was dishonest. The horse, and the next day he said he rushed that horse and he didn't read the horse right. And so he did kind of, you know, but there was a lot of talk about that. And, you know, I know a little bit about Pirelli, and I know a little bit about Clinton Anderson from being on tour, on his tour stop. But, you know, I didn't know much about Chris. And although he's a neighbor for me in Texas, he lives right up the road, I didn't know what to expect from him. And he was the most respectful and the most patient. And, you know, he didn't care about the show. He wanted to win, but he came and he worked with his colt, and he didn't say much, and he just done a phenomenal job. I think I found, like, the other two, they were teaching and interacting a lot with the audience. And Chris was definitely the quieter one, you know, and that was kind of interesting to watch. And I can definitely say each clinician stayed true to their personality in this competition. They stayed true to the methods they teach. So there was really, you know, no big surprises, but it was definitely a competition.
Now, I got to ask you, do they have in between, obviously that's only 2 hours each day, they have other stuff going on to keep you entertained too, right?
Yeah, because I thought the clinicians would do it like the whole day, and they didn't. They had lots of guest demonstrations. Stacey Westfall was there. Richard Winters was there. Mike Majors from Project Cowboy, the winner, he was there. And I have a lot of that on my Facebook page. There was a Palomino whose mane came down to the ground. And a little of a Quero came and done some roping tricks on him. And that was really cool. So that's on my Facebook. And there was a lot of reining patterns. And there was actually a mounted shooting demonstration from Stacey on there. So it was... there was a lot to keep you entertained, and they had definitely gone out of their way to make this an actual show. So it was great.
You got to see somebody that we've become friends with since we started this show, because we play our music all the time. I saw a picture of you and Marianne Kennedy together.
Oh, Marianne Kennedy, yes. I had her CDs at my booth, and she is great. I actually have a video. Did you see the video? I kind of done a quick interview with her.
No, I didn't see that. No.
Oh, I'll have to post. I'll post it when I get back home. She was great, and she sung and wrote a song called "Road to the Horse," and it's not on her CD, but it is downloadable from her website. And it really is a catchy song. I really like it. So it's a great song to listen to, and it was wrote specifically for "Road to the Horse." So she was out there. We had a blast with her. She was I had to be bringing more CDs because everyone bought them up pretty quick down there.
Well, do me a favor and post that video of the interview with her on our Horses in the Morning page.
Oh, yes, I sure will.
That would be great.
Yep.
That'd be great.
Yep.
Because obviously we play her here all the time, and we enjoy her music so much. So I'm really jealous that you got to hang out with her. That's fun.
You'd be more jealous because you know where I sat when the clinicians done their obstacle courses?
No.
There's like 10,000 people, and I had a chair in the middle of the arena, Glenn.
Were you a judge?
Really? I had the best seat in the house. Yep. They, because ACTA sponsored the trail obstacles, and so I went down there, and they invited me to sit in the arena next to the judges. So my friends were texting me, "Your butt's on my TV screen." I'm like... Like, have a look. Is it too big? Should I stand at a different angle? All these people watching me.
Wow.
I was very privileged. I had me and another staff member from ACTA. I got to go down and have a first-hand experience. And I did try and get some information off of them about who they picked next year. And they were pretty well sealed on that. I didn't get anywhere. But I tried.
Well, and, you know, we should say that Chris Cox has won this total of three times now. He had won twice before in 2007 and 2008. He had won as well. So,
yes. Clinton and won twice, and they were both going for the third time. Both Clinton and Chris Cox were going for the third time. So, but, you know,
and
the thing that impressed me the most, Glenn, when Chris had finished his freestyle with his horse, they had a couple of, you know, whatever time they had left, they could use in the arena however they wanted. Chris kind of, you know, done some movements with his horse to show how broke his horse was. Then he unsaddled his horse, and he took his hat off, and he tipped it to that horse. And it was just,
aww,
it gave me goosebumps. I'm like, you know, this is a guy who loves the horse, you know, and this is about the horse and doing a good job with the horse. So this horse is going to have a good future, not just doing a one-day show. And he was very concerned with the long-term effects that he was giving on that horse, and he wanted to do a good job. So I have to say,
that's,
I was
terrific,
very impressed.
Cool.
Yes.
Well, Tammy, we're playing out of time. We can let you get back to class or bed, I rather think it was. But if you want to stick with the class story, that's up to you. thank you for joining us this morning. We appreciate it.
No problem. I will post those on the pages. They'll be up sometime after lunch.
Okay. Thanks, Tammy.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tammy Serrant, the host of the Western Radio Show. You can listen to her and Alan over there at westernradioshow.com. Well, that's it for today, Jamie. We're all done.
Yeah.
That's all we got. You can listen to all of our shows at horseradionetwork.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at Horse Radio.
Absolutely. And we want to thank everybody for being on the show. Mike Arnold from drivingnews.us, Tammy, and, of course, my new coach, my cutting coach, Bill Murphy. So we do appreciate all of them being on with us. He's great. Yeah, he lives literally almost down to Mexico, so I'm sorry if the cell service was bad. He said it barely works there. If you miss a live show, you can listen to the recorded version on our website, affiliate websites, iTunes. You don't have to miss an episode. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 9 Eastern. So goodbye, everybody. Say goodbye, Glenn.
Goodbye, everybody. Wear your helmets. Be safe today.